Let's pray as we begin. Most gracious Heavenly Father, you are a magnificent and great God. And Father, as we come here this morning to worship you and praise you here today, and as we open your word to study it here today, Father, we just pray that you would be with us, you'd guide us. Father, you'd give us open minds and hearts. Father, give us a passion to be on mission with you. And that, Father, we have a desire to win this world in which we live in to Christ. Father, not so that we can have numbers here in this building, but Father, so that we have people that want to serve you, that want to have a relation with you, and Father, that we will save from hell itself. And Father, we just pray here today that each of us just has a deep passion for serving you and living for you. And Father, we just pray here this morning that you would use me as your instrument this day, and that you would be glorified in all that we say and do here. We pray all these things in your Son's most precious and holy name. Amen. Let's just suppose this morning you're on your way to work each morning, and you usually stop at Starbucks. You tend to get to the store the same time each morning, and you usually see a girl who gets there about the same time as you do. On many mornings, you find yourself standing right next to each other in line. In fact, you order almost the same thing each morning. She seems to be a little bit in the Gothic culture. She has black hair, black clothes, high-heeled boots, black fingernails, black lipstick, piercings in the nose, lips, ears, eyebrows, and scattered tattoos. She usually has a backpack which she takes off and to get her money, and sometimes it's so hard to do, to hold her backpack, to get her money, and pay for her coffee all at the same time. She doesn't make too much eye contact with others. You wonder whether you should strike up a conversation with her. Maybe offer to hold her backpack while she pays. You're not sure what this whole Gothic bit is really about, and you don't know whether she's should give you a dark look or say something to you. Should you be friendly to her? Maybe find out what brings both of you to Starbucks the same time each morning. See if she ever tries any of the specialty coffees. Maybe you need to move towards, should you start greeting her each morning when you see her? Should you try to learn about other parts of her life? Yes, by all means, move into her world. See, make a comment one day about how the barista probably already knows both your orders before you even order them as you walk through the door. Offer to hold her backpack while she pays. A couple of days later, if she starts missing, maybe ask her if she's been sick and tell her that you miss seeing her. Move into her world. Because with the eyes of a doctor, you can see the hurt that God can heal. You see an anger and alienation. Maybe it's because of sexual abuse from a stepfather, a brother, or an old boyfriend. But you see the heaviness and the sadness. With the eyes of a doctor, you see the hurt that God can heal. There's a man who, at work, who everybody just avoids being around. He's been divorced a couple of times, and both his ex-wives are suing him for child support. He's a deadbeat dad. He is way behind on his child support, and he gives them a little bit every now and then. He's been living with another woman and her small child, but a couple of weeks ago, he slapped her around a little bit and was arrested and spent a couple nights in jail, and she kicked him out, and now he has a restraining order against him. He's currently living in one of the cheap motels that rent by the month. Every day at lunch, he goes by himself and gets a hamburger or a burrito, or always coming back with mustard or chili on his shirt. Nobody thinks very much about him because he's so quick to complain. He's always turning around and saying, everybody's against me. Everybody's pushing my buttons. Everybody's trying to squeeze him dry. Nobody wants to listen to that. You often wondered about being nice to him and maybe offering to go to lunch with him. You know, y'all like the same types of food, the fast food restaurants. You like Burger King, Taco Bell, Subway. And you know, Subway's having a big sale right now. And maybe you two could go together. Should you invite him to lunch one day? Yes, by all means. You need to move into his world. Go to lunch with him. Maybe go to Subway and sit down and share a meal together. Ask him if he's watching any of the tournaments that have been going on this last week. And who is he favored that going into the NCAA tournament? You can move into his world because with the eyes of a doctor, you see a hurt that God can heal, right? You see a bitterness at life, failing at relationships, blaming others instead of knowing how to change himself. You sense his fear for the future, no money, a criminal record on the books, and his desperation over being all alone in this world. With the eyes of a doctor, you see a hurt that God can heal. Your company has a co-ed baseball league. They're looking for some extra players, and you like softball. You like the feel of connecting with that pitch. You like the running of the bases, running down those fly balls, being able to throw someone out at home plate. The first game is next Thursday, and they're pushing you to join them in the league. But you're not sure. You like softball, but you don't know about these people in the office. You went to a company picnic a couple months ago, and there was a pickup softball game there. And the things that were going on, lots of beer drinking, pretty raunchy comments that were going on between the men and the women that you really didn't care for. Some of the wives of the co-workers were loud-mouthed, and they flirted with other husbands. The parents yelled mean things at their children and did nothing to try to control them. And in the parking lot, you saw all types of things going on between people that weren't married. Do you really want to deal with that every week? Should you really join the team? Yes, by all means. Move into the world. Get to the park. Hit those balls. Run those bases. Bring some Cokes to mix in with the beers. When one of the women on the other team lines into the gap and between center and left field for a stand-up double, instead of questioning her sexual preference, shout out, great hit. Good hitting. Buy a cheap glove and give it to a kid that doesn't have one. Ask him to be the bat boy. Maybe have him come and sit with you in the bench and try to teach him some of the strategies of the game. Why move into the world? Because with the eyes of the doctor, you see their hurts that God can heal. You see what the machoism and the raunchiness merely disguise insecurity and failures. You see marriages where there's no love and children who don't have the security of the boundaries in their life. You see the single mom's loneliness and their vulnerability that puts them at risk for being deeply hurt in their relationships. With the eyes of the doctor, you see the hurts that God can heal. In life, we can have the eyes of a doctor, or we can have eyes of judgment. Which do we have? See, the eyes of a judge see that gothic girl, and he sees a deadbeat dad, and he sees a foul-mouthed teen, and he leaves us thinking we should not have anything to do with them. The eyes of the doctor sees hurts that need help. See, do we shun the disreputable, those whose lifestyles are questionable? Do we shut ourselves off from them and have nothing to do with them whatsoever? Do we leave them to their anger and despair, their ignorance, their loneliness, their vulnerability? Or do we move into their world, talk with them, laugh with them, eat with them, play with them, be their friend? See, do we look at them with eyes of a judge, seeing seeing choices that God should punish? Or do we look at them with the eyes of a doctor, seeing hurts that God can heal? See, I think that's some of the question that's been answered in Mark chapter 2, starting in verse 13 through 14. And this scripture focuses us to ask. In our passage, we see Jesus moving into the world of someone considered disreputable, someone whose lifestyle was questionable to others. And this man was named Levi. He's a tax collector, but Jesus invites this disreputable man to be a part of his group. Through his example, Jesus is saying to us, move into the world as I do, with the eyes of a doctor, seeing the hurts that God can heal. Let's look a little deeper at this story today. After teaching a crowd of people, Jesus is walking along and he sees Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting there at his tax collector's booth. He said, follow me. Jesus tells him, and Levi gets up and he follows him. Jesus has come out of the city of Capernaum, which is the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee. This means that this particular toll station that we're talking about here today intercepts all traffic and commerce coming through the borders of King Herod's territory. A lot of traffic came through there. Though this connected Rome in one direction and Egypt in the other direction. Levi's job was to collect tolls. So much per wagon, so much per cart, so much per mule. And the import taxes, anything they were importing, any of these goods like grain or garments or fish. So there had been a couple of other guys with him, more than likely they're helping him. And obviously there was Roman guards there to help them to make sure that everyone cooperated with Levi and they did exactly what he wanted them to do. See, the taxation progress in the New Testament was oppressive. Basically, you were at whatever the tax collector said. You had to do what he said. There were no posted taxes. You didn't know what it was. So as you came through that area, you had no idea. It's whatever he said. And you couldn't really argue with them because the Roman soldiers were right there to make sure that they did what he said to do. He had to make sure that he got enough to make sure King Herod had what he needed. And he also wanted to make sure he had a little bit of extra cash of his own. But despite the corruption, if you were a merchant, you were at the mercy of the tax collector. After all, the soldiers were there to enforce whatever Levi said, and he probably gave them a little extra money to make sure that they did exactly what he wanted them to do. And all this to say, all the merchants of that day hated Levi. They didn't care for him at all. You can be certain that the townspeople knew that he was a cheat, no better than a common thief. No one wanted anything to do with Levi. Tax collectors like Levi were so disreputable and so notorious and their dishonesty so well known that they weren't even allowed to go to court to testify. You just could not trust the testimony of a tax collector. It's safe to say that Levi didn't get asked to speak at too many career days. He probably didn't get asked to come to the local elementary and talk about his great career. And that is why it was so surprising when Jesus comes along and he moved into Levi's world, even inviting him to be one of his disciples. Can you imagine? Jesus had been in the area long enough for Levi to know who he was. Levi was probably had heard Jesus teach on several occasions in the area, and the text indicates that something about Jesus poked deep into Levi's heart. Levi sensed that God had something better for him. So when Jesus came along one day and said, Levi, come with me, he tells the other tax collectors, I'm going to be gone for a little while. Will you cover it for me? And just like that, he becomes one of Jesus' followers. See, the first few hours of following Jesus turned into days. And soon Levi's heart changed. He was having conversations with some of his fellow tax collectors and with a few other people who most people would have nothing to do with. He was talking to prostitutes and adulterers and extortionists, people who were also looked down on as disreputable people, telling them what it has been like to spend these days with Jesus. When some of them asked if they would be okay to come over and the next day to hear Jesus, Levi could have convinced them that Jesus just wouldn't mind, and he did that very thing. And just like that, some of Levi's friends began following Jesus. After several days, the text tells us that Levi decides to throw a party for Jesus at his house. He invited all his friends. That way, Levi's friends could be with Jesus, have Jesus all to themselves. Now, Jesus not only did Levi invite these disreputable men into his house, but now Jesus has not only invited this disreputable man named Levi to be his disciples, he actually commits to attending a party with a whole crowd of disreputable people. Why does Jesus take such a social risk? He has the eyes of a doctor. He sees their hurts that only God can heal. Look with me, starting in verse 15 of our text. There he says this: while Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and the tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." The Pharisees objected to Jesus eating with such disreputable people. To them, it implied acceptance of sinful lifestyle. Why was he partying with them? They wondered. And it was a party that was going on in Levi's house. No doubt about it. The words used in the text describe a gathering that are not the normal words for just simply sitting down for a meal and having a nice meal together. They are party words of that time. Words that say that they were having a grand old time together. But as far as the Pharisees were concerned, Jesus was with the wrong people in the wrong place. The Pharisees were so strict in Israel that they were trying to follow the Old Testament laws to the nth degree, all in an effort to keep themselves separated from the evil influence. There may have been some good motive in what they were doing, but the way that they carried out and put unreasonable demands on those who would listen to them. They added things to the Old Testament law that were never there. And when people didn't measure up to their standards, they judged them, lumping them all together and dismissing them as sinners. You could imagine how horrifying it was for the Pharisees to see Jesus go into the house filled with sinners. Even worse, they could hear the laughter that was coming out of that house. So when the party finally broke up and Jesus and his disciples were coming out of the house, some of the Pharisees confronted Jesus' disciples saying, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? Why is he associating with such disreputable people?" They were not asking for information. They were saying in their accusatory manner, insisting he should not be doing such things. The text tells us that Jesus overheard their question, and he gave them the answer that becomes our pattern for behavior for today. It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Jesus is saying that it makes as much sense for us to stay away from sinners as it does for the doctor to stay away from the sick. A doctor must go out among the sick in order to bring healing, just as we have to go out among sinners to proclaim an even deeper healing that comes from God. So yes, by all means, we need to move into the world with the eyes of a doctor, seeing the hurts that God can heal. Talk to the Gothic girl. Strike up a friendship. As Christmas draws near, why not buy a gift for her? It may be a thermos from Starbucks. Have lunch with a deadbeat dad. Is there an unmarried pregnant girl in one of your crowded classes? Save a seat for her. Strike up a conversation with the older women on the prowl for another man. Engage with a man who has just lost his license for driving drunk. If the co-workers invite you, join the softball team. Go with them to karaoke. Go to the tailgate parties. Attend the company parties. Stay sober, but sit and talk and laugh. Go to your high school reunions. Tell stories about what it was like when you were in high school, how you TP'd your government teacher's house, and how you won the district championships, and marvel that some of the teachers that you had are still teaching today. Go to the Friday night get-togethers with your friends and spend time and use the opportunities to be able to share your faith. When they start talking about women at those things, you have to talk about your wife and how much you love her and how much you care for her. And don't degrade other women. Show them that because the way you live your life, you don't do such things. We need to move into the world and connect with them if they're willing. Be a friend and let God take it from there. Move into their world with the eyes of the doctor. See the hurts that God can heal. How about each of us here this morning? Are we willing to be on mission with God? Are we willing to take the gospel into the world in which we live? One of the biggest days of the year for the church in general is Easter. And we have more people that come to church on an Easter Sunday than almost any other day of the year. What are we doing? Are we developing relationships and trying to get others to know about Christ? Now is the time to start inviting others, sharing the gospel. How are we going to win others to Christ? How are we going to evangelize the world in which we live? How are we going to evangelize San Antonio? How are we going to evangelize our neighborhoods? It's by moving into the world. How are we going to do that? This morning, I want to ask each of us, where are you? Maybe there's some here this morning that need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can't really tell someone about something that you don't have any part of. Maybe this morning you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You need to surrender your life to Him. And if you haven't done that, we're going to give you an opportunity to do that here this morning. If you believe in Him, you want to repent of your sins, you want to confess Him before men and have your sins washed away, we'll do that here today. We'll wash your sins away so that your sins are forgiven and then the Holy Spirit can reside within your life. Maybe there's others here this morning that we have decided to follow Christ, but what we've been talking about here, being on mission with God, is something we really haven't been doing. We haven't really been trying in that area. We're not really trying to connect with other people. And maybe there's some here this morning that need to make some changes in their life so that you are on mission with God, that you are reaching out to others, you are willing to connect with others that don't have a relationship with Him. Maybe there's others here this morning that need to make this their church home, or there may be something in your life that you need prayer over, whatever it is. We're going to sing a song. And if you have a decision to make here today, make it as we stand and sing. Please stand with me.